Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the cause of disease. When we come back. You know, the lessons on courtroom strategy and procedure that you hear on this show are just a small part of my two-week basic courtroom strategy and procedures school. And this class includes lessons on what to do and what not to do at the arrest or when you're served with a summons, a citation, or a complaint. Remember, rule one is don't say anything. Keep your mouth shut. And then shut up. And if you can learn rule one, you can win about 90% of your legal cases. And that's because all of the evidence that's ever going to be used against you is going to be furnished by you. And your government is fully capable of making their own case against you without your help. So don't give the prosecutor the victory. At least make him work for it. Listen to what the courts have to say about keeping quiet in the face of police interrogation and, in some cases, police intimidation. The first judge put it this way. He said, "Who would believe the ironic truth that the cooperative taxpayer fares much worse than the individual who relies upon his constitutional rights?" And he said that in a case called U.S. versus Dickerson. The second judge put it this way. He says, "You can and you must keep your mouth shut for protection under the Fifth Amendment." And he said that in Belknap versus United States. The third judge put it this way. He said, "The constitutional privilege was intended to shield the guilty and the imprudent, as well as to protect the innocent and the farsighted." And he said that in Marchetti versus United States. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call us at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. While you're at it, be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free. Now, our school, courtroom strategy and procedure, is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, just go to the website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email. Send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, we're talking about bowel cleansing. Bowel cleansing. That's where we left off last time. I took three witnesses over here. At the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. And after all, the medical profession, they tell you plainly, we don't know what causes cancer. I can't for the life of me understand why people would want to go to an oncologist to have him treat you for cancer. The guy says, I don't know what causes it. And then you say, well, do you know how to cure it? No. No, we don't know how to cure it either. We don't know how to cure it, and we don't know what causes it, but for $100,000, we'll treat it until you run out of money or run out of insurance or run out of something, because we're in business to make money. Now, there's 14 cures to cancer, and the 14 causes to cancer, or 36 or 92, I don't know how many different causes there are, but one of them, the big cause for cancer, is colon blockage, commonly known as constipation down here on the streets. Constipation. That's where you don't go to the bathroom, number two, once a day. Once a day. You go to the bathroom number two about once a week. Now, some people it's every 2 weeks, some people as little as once a month. I mean, I read some of the statistics and some of the numbers here that Dr. Schultz gives me, and I thought, oh my God. Now, those Krispy Kremes taste real good going down, but sometimes they don't come out. Yeah, they don't come out, and sometimes they don't come out for a long time. And there's a lot of toxins that are in the foods that we eat, and getting rid of those toxins, you know, when you get rid of poisons in your body, they come out in several different places. You've got 32, I had a doctor tell me this one time, 32 liquids in your body, 32 thingies that run around in your body in the form of liquid. Blood is one, saliva is two, you know, tears is three. Well, there's 32 of those. I wouldn't have known that if some medical doctor hadn't told me that. And these guys, they have taken bodies apart and they've looked at every nook and cranny. I mean, these guys, you know, they really know their onions. And then they go into the business, the medical business, to make money. They're entrepreneurs. And God love them. I don't blame a guy for wanting to make a few bucks. And when I've got a problem, I don't even mind spending a few bucks. But I'd like the guy to cure it. You know, if I walked in the door and I said, hey, listen, I got a toenail over here that's growing into my flesh and it's hurting me real bad. And he cuts it out. And they call those guys podiatrists. or I got a bunion or a corn or something causing me pain, the guy cuts it off or fixes it or gives me, you know, puts something on there to ease the pain. No, I don't mind paying the guy to do that. But I really object to this concept of just treating this thing forever, like diabetics. They're cash cows for life. You know, once they get you on insulin, they got a cash cow until you die. Once they get you on dialysis, I mean, they got you. What are you going to do? You're going to sit down, shut up, fold your hands, and do what you're told and pay the money. So I think it'd be a lot better if you could stay off of dialysis and stay off of insulin and maybe stay off of disease altogether. And so here's three guys come along and they say, okay, here's what causes disease. Now, one of them says it's 100%. One of them says it's 90%, and Schultz says it's 80%. 80% of disease caused by constipation, plugged up colon. So listen to some of the numbers where we broke off last time. Let's check what the top medical doctors say. God love these top medical doctors, huh? Here's your latest medical statistic. What makes hot news isn't necessarily an accurate reflection of what's really going on in the world. This is especially true when it comes to what people are dying from. Breast cancer. Black tie galas are being held all over America to raise money for breast cancer research. October has been declared National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. The word mammogram is on every woman's lips. And if at all that isn't enough, I received an invitation to a black tie gala in New York. Penthouse pets bare their breasts for breast cancer. I'm not kidding. The storyline went, penthouse pets bare their breasts for breast cancer. God, that was a party, wasn't it? Prostate cancer. Every man is dreading his next prostate exam. Well, every magazine you pick up has an article on prostate cancer. AIDS. Every day, there's another article or something on the radio or television about AIDS. It has totally changed our lives, from how we have sex to police officers wearing rubber gloves. And while all of our attention is on breasts, prostate, AIDS, and sex, listen to this, colon cancer kills 400% more people than AIDS. Colon cancer actually kills more men and women in America than breast cancer or prostate cancer. Yes, according to the Center for Disease Control, that's the CDC, death from AIDS has declined significantly over the past 5 years. It's down a whopping 70%. But the AIDS media blitz still continues. They're still raising money for AIDS research. Sex sells. AIDS sells. You know, many reporters have told me that no one wants to hear about poop, and that breasts, prostates, and sexual diseases are more sexy and sex-related, and therefore they are more newsworthy. But sexy or not, AIDS only kills 15,000 Americans a year. Prostate cancer will kill about 40,000. Breast cancer will kill about 40,000. But colon rectal cancer will kill 60,000 Americans this year, and more than 150,000 new cases will be diagnosed this year. I know, I've heard all the excuses. It's dirty, it's embarrassing, and I don't want to talk about poop, nor my favorite. I'm too busy to be going to the bathroom all the time. So like ostriches with our heads buried in the sand, we don't want to discuss colon disease and we don't want to discuss colon health. Although colon rectal cancer and disease is reported in most modernized countries, America's high levels of constipation and our unwillingness to talk about it has helped us win the international contest hands down. We have now awarded ourselves the highest incidence of colon cancer and disease of any country in the world. And according to medical statistics, every American will develop some type of colon disease. That is, you're going to develop a polyp, a tumor, or colon cancer in your lifetime. So it's high time we started talking about what's causing it and how to heal it, and more importantly, how to prevent it. Now, did you get that, boys and girls? Every American drawing breath today is going to develop some type of colon disease in your lifetime. You're going to have colon disease. It's a polyp, a tumor, or colon cancer at some point in your lifetime. So let's check what the top medical doctors are telling us. Now, the Merck manual is written by the most distinguished and respected group of top medical experts and pharmaceutical manufacturers in the world. It is the medical industry's standard text for the diagnosis and treatment of disease. And this book tells us that colon degeneration is on the rise. Every American eventually has diverticulosis, or has many diverticula. Okay, well, I'm looking at a diverticulosis here, fecal matter removed from an impacted colon. And if you see a picture of this colon, you actually have to have a picture here. It's got bumps all over it. I'm going to call them bumps. And these bumps become extended, and as they become extended, because they're filled with the fecal matter, they are called diverticulosis, as they fill up and they expand, and it pushes the thing out of shape. I mean, there's a normal shape for your colon here, and then when it fills up, you know, like that water pipe I discussed with you yesterday, then as it plugs up, you develop this thing called diverticulosis. Now, the incidence of diverticulosis, herniated bowel pockets caused by constipation, has increased dramatically over the past 50 years. Now, the Merck manual tells us that in 1950, only 10% of adults over the age of 45 had this disease. Now, 1950, let's go back here 60 years, 10% of adults over the age of 45 had the disease. In 1955, it went up to 15%, in 72, 30%. In 1987, 45%. And the most recent edition states that the incidence increases rapidly over age 40 and that every person will have diverticulosis if they live long enough. All right, pause here for a moment. Why do we have diverticulosis? Why is it growing? Why is it increasing? Something is going on here. Something that wasn't here in 1900 is here today. What have we done here in America over the past 100 years, particularly over the last 50 or 60? What have we been doing? Have we been eating more McDonald's grease burgers? Have we been eating more fast foods and junk foods? Have we been visiting the vending machine more often? Are we sucking in more Cokes, more sugar, more white flour than we did prior to 1950? And the answer is yes, 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 and yes to all of the above. All right. Now, it is true. If you could get rid of that stuff, I mean, if you ate that Krispy Kreme and if you could evacuate that through your bowel, you'd probably be all right. But here's what the problem is. That white flour doesn't have any fiber. Have you heard that word before, fiber, boys and girls? All right, fiber. That's the stuff that you get off of fruits and vegetables, fiber. And if you eat a lot of fiber, it doesn't plug you up. In other words, you know, if you eat prunes, it's like a physic. In fact, it is a physic. And then it'll loosen your stool and you'll go to the bathroom. And so we drink prune juice, or you can eat prunes. Now, if you eat fiberless foods, now cheese has zero fiber, and meat, you know, think about McDonald's now. That white bread has no fiber. You've taken the fiber out of the wheat when you made the white flour, and you fed that to the cows. The cows are not plugged up. They're not constipated, and the cows aren't dying from diverticulosis, and they don't have cancer, and they don't have colorectal cancer, and they don't have colostomies. Cows are cows. They're fine. They're not plugged up. So we take the fiber and we feed it to the cows, and then we eat the refined foods, you know, the Krispy Kremes and the Oscar Mayer weenies, and we eat a lot of fat. And fat has no fiber, and it gets into your colon and it plugs it up. Now, you're still going to the bathroom, and there's a little hole right down the middle of all of this impacted feces, which has adhered to the lining or the wall of your colon. Now, while it's adhered to the lining of your colon, it can't absorb any nutrients through it. So the nutrients are going right straight through you, partner, and you're not absorbing them. And now you're nutrient deficient. You don't have the B17. Sure, you're eating the nuts and you're eating the B17, but it's not being absorbed, and then you develop cancer. And this is why Richardson, you know, he said, well, now we can see that B17 is an essential nutrient to preventing cancer. And that those people, like the Hunses, who eat lots of apricots, get lots of apricot pits, get lots of B17, they don't have any cancer. Ah, wait a minute. People that eat a lot of apricots, boys and girls, get a lot of fiber, and they're not constipated. So they're absorbing the B17, they're not constipated, and they live to be 100 years old. Now, let's bring it to America. We come over here to America, we eat a lot of Krispy Kremes and Coca-Cola, and we eat brownies and all kinds of neat stuff, and Wonder Bread, and McDonald's grease burgers, and we don't have the fiber. We plug up our colons. Whether or not we get the B17 is irrelevant. Then, when we develop cancer, some guy comes along, he gives you the B17. In those people who can absorb the B17, because their colons aren't as dirty as yours, or mine, or somebody else's, they can absorb the B17, kills the cancer, they live happily ever after. But if you're plugged up and you get cancer, you can't get rid of it. And so it ties itself up in your liver, or your gallbladder, or your kidneys, and you die from liver failure. Now, how's that for a plan? All right, so now we're starting to see the answer to the riddle. The cause of the disease is you're being starved to death. You don't have enough B17. You don't have enough of the nutrients. We talked about that in the first program. If you don't have enough vitamin C, you develop scurvy. To cure the scurvy, no big deal. Give the guy vitamin C, and the scurvy goes away. All right. Now, if you are taking a lot of vitamin C, you may be eating plenty. But unfortunately, you're plugged up. You got that potato up your tailpipe, and you're unable to evacuate. And as a result, the vitamin C then isn't absorbed by your body, so you develop a symptom. The symptom's called scurvy. We go to the Merck desk reference, and we say, oh, yeah, you've got scurvy. And so here's what we'll do. We'll give you this formula. If it comes from Merck or it comes from Pfizer, we'll give you this drug. Well, the drug is a drug. It's a chemical. It's probably got vitamin C in it. The scurvy goes away. And, oh, God, I really feel good. The scurvy went away. Okay, but what caused the scurvy? the plugged up bowel. Did you ever go to the cause of the scurvy to start with and solve the problem? Because, you know, if you solve the problem, this Dr. Walker over here, now he's got a little different take on things. Dr. Walker says, I never take vitamins. I get all of the nutrients that I need out of the food that I eat. Well, it was probably true in 1950. You know, when I was a kid growing up, we all ate organic food because that's about all that was there. It was after World War II that we got onto this chemical food kick. And we've been on this chemical food kick from that point on, you know, the end of World War II. And we're getting sicker and sicker. You know, in 1917, 60% of Americans were healthy and had no symptoms. 40% had symptoms. Today, 99% of Americans have symptoms. Only 1% of us are symptom-free. 1% of us are healthy. In 1917, 60% of us were healthy. Prior to 1917, I don't know how many more, but it was more than 60% was healthy. So we are degenerating. And here in America, our health is degenerating. The food tastes good. I mean, everybody agrees that Hershey bars are great and New York peppermint patties are wonderful. Everybody agrees that God made anything better than a Krispy Kreme, he kept it for himself. Unfortunately, we Americans go hog wild. If a little bit of booze is good, we got to turn into alcoholics. If a little bit of Coke is good, we got to have a six-pack a day. You know, if one Krispy Kreme is tasty, a half a dozen of them have got to be even more tastier. And so we eat this foodless food, plug up our colons, and then even if we are eating good food, you know, vitamins and minerals and so on, we can't absorb them and therefore we come down with disease. Now this diverticulosis or cancer or polyps or something else that's in your guts, you know, just being plain, just your guts. Bottom line is that it's killing us. And so that's why we're making this report. Very simple cause for disease. Plugged up colon is like plugging up your exhaust system in your car. Let's draw an analogy. The gas tank's very sexy. You pull into the gas station, you whip out the hose, you stick it in the slot, and you fill up your tank with gas. And you got this pipe runs from your gas tank up to the fuel pump, and you're pumping gas through the fuel pump and up another pipe into the carburetor, and the gasoline goes through the carburetor and it's atomized and mixed with oxygen goes into the combustion chamber, and the piston comes up, compresses it, the spark plug fires, and here comes all this power. It burns and it drives the piston down and delivers energy and turns the crankshaft and makes your car go down the street. The piston comes back up, the valve opens, and the exhaust gas goes where, boys and girls? Goes out the exhaust pipe. Now there's another system in your car called the exhaust system. It's not nearly as sexy. It's kind of like your colon, you know. Well, you know, gasoline, we can talk about the go farther gas, or we can talk about octane. But who wants to talk about exhaust gases and carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide and waste products and smog and ozone that goes out through that exhaust pipe? Now remember, I told you on Monday, I said, you take that potato, just take a potato and stick it up somebody's exhaust pipe and then watch what happens. He's going to start his car and go, and then it dies. And he tries to start it again and he goes, and then it dies. And the car won't run and he can't figure out what's wrong. And so he takes it into the shop and then they get to looking at it and they say, there's nothing coming out the tailpipe. And then some guy looks up the tailpipe and says, well, this thing's plugged up. And so they dig that potato out. And it costs you $50 or $75 to have your car towed in, and then it costs you another $50 or $75 to have somebody dig the potato out of your tailpipe, and then they get in there and they start it up, and then you get mad as hell and you say, well, who's that dirty SOB that did that to me? But it illustrates a very important point. That exhaust system is just as important as that gas system. You know, the fuel is important. But, you know, you got to get rid of the toxic waste gases that come out of the engine. The same thing's true with our bodies, you know. You're sticking all this stuff, you know, and what do you say? Tons and tons. How many cows? 72 cows? He said 36, wasn't it? No, 12, 3,000-pound cows. That's why I said I don't think this guy's ever been in the cattle business because I've never, well, I wouldn't say I never saw a 3,000-pound cow. There's a few freaks out there, but the cows weigh about 800-900 pounds, kids. Except for Holsteins, 6 whole pigs, 3,000 chickens, you know, and you're going to eat 20,000 over-the-counter and prescription drugs and 2,000 gallons of alcohol. All of that has to go through your body. That 2,000 gallons of alcohol all has to go through your liver. Do you know that? That's why Mickey Mantle died of cirrhosis of the liver. You know, he took his 2,000 gallons and he poured it all down his gut all at the same time and went through his liver and burned it out. And then he had to have a liver transplant. And so, you know, a little booze is good, but, you know, too much booze is a killer. So you got to decide for yourself, you know, how much booze do you want to drink? You know, how many Krispy Kremes do you want to eat? And the choice is yours. Now, going on here, he says up to 50% of Americans have polyps in their colon. Now, a polyp is a tumor that arises from the bowel surface and it protrudes into the inside of your colon. Most polyps eventually transform into malignant cancer tumors. Well, that ain't very good. That's not good news at all. Alternative healers, natural healers, and the new breed of HIP medical doctor authors have all ignored the latest disease statistics, and they have swept colon cleansing under the carpet. So while the top medical doctors are saying that bowel disease is more prevalent than ever, and that bowel disease is killing more Americans than ever before, why don't I see more bowel detoxification programs in all of the new natural healing books that are being published? It appears that the natural healers and these modern-day hip medical doctors and authors have politely swept the bowel under the carpet and consider it dirty or not high-tech enough to us. It's like they forgot we even have a bowel. They would rather discuss the latest enzyme fad to lose weight or debate how melatonin helps jet lag, the most popular diets today like the Zone Eat the Hamburger and Throw the Grain Bread Out, and the Atkins Heavy Animal Protein Blood Feast are almost fiberless regimes that left most of my patients constipated to the gills with severely increased cholesterol levels. There is no shortage of hype on the St. John's wort, cat's claw, kava, colloidal silver, or the latest weight loss amino acid craze. But what about the foundation of health that is having a clean colon? Has it become politically incorrect to discuss the bowel? And while these so-called health authors ignore colon cleansing and won't discuss it, millions of Americans are literally rotting from the inside out. Now that's chapter two. A little comment there on chapter two. Has it occurred to us that cancer is simple? You know, we're told that it's complex and hard to be understood. And that's why we have to have billions and billions of dollars to study it and study it and study it. My God, we've been studying this cancer thing now for 100 years, haven't we? And they can cure 37% for 5 years. That is, they can, if they catch you in time. Now, they always tell you, we got to catch you early. Here's the cure for colon cancer. They cut your colon out and throw it away. Then they tie your small intestine through your stomach wall. And I say stomach, through your stomach cavity wall here, onto the side of your body, and they paste a bag on there to collect the fecal matter. They call that colon cancer cure. Boys and girls, I would say that if you're running around with a bag on your side, you know, collecting the fecal matter out of your gut that you have to dispose of and you have to empty every day, that strikes me as being messy. That strikes me as being pretty dirty. I think a piece of toilet paper in the natural, God-ordained and designed way for bodily elimination is a hell of a lot more convenient and a hell of a lot better program and plan. All right, hang on here a minute. I got to give you a reminder here at the midway point that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to get one by ordering it from the Law School. Just call us direct, 417-273-4967. Just call up and say, hey, listen, you got that CD set over there? I'd like to get one. And then be patient with me because I'm old and I'm slow. And I'm lazy, and it takes us a little time to get those out. So if you thought that we're operating, you know, like General Motors or IBM, and that we just whip that on you the very next day, by next day mail, we don't. We just save up a bunch of those until we have about 100 of them or something like that. And then when we get a batch of them, you know, the wife and I, we sit down here at the dining room table, and we package them up, and then we address the envelopes, and then we send those out. And the other day, I had a guy call me, and he said, I ordered that 2 months ago, and I haven't got it yet. Well, that's true, and you didn't get it, partner, because I didn't send it yet, and that's why I didn't get it. But we're not here falsely advertising and promising something that we won't send you. It's just that we're just mom and dad, you know, here working here in the studio, and we operate a school, and this is not the University of California at the Berkeley campus, you know, with 15 hot and cold running secretaries at taxpayer expense, now running around mailing the stuff out. We actually, at some point in time, have to get off our dead hives and actually go do that. All right, keep in mind that the law hour is carried worldwide over the internet, and that all of these programs are archived on the internet by title and date. Now, that's for your listening convenience. That's so that, you know, when you hear this program, sometimes you'll be listening to it on shortwave. People call me and they say that they'd like me to send them these programs, or they would like to know what radio station that they can listen to in their area. And the answer to that is, I don't know. I put these programs out, and they're put out on compact disc, and they go to our producer down in Austin, Texas, and he puts it up on the internet. And there are some radio stations around the world that pick this program up because it's free. And so they download it and then they play it. And so if you're driving down the road, or if you're listening on a Saturday afternoon and you pick up this program on some radio station, I don't have a clue as to what radio station you're listening to and or where you heard it. But here's the best part of that. If you hear this program someplace and you say, God, I'd like to get the rest of those programs that go with that. Okay. What you do is you go to the internet. And if you don't have a computer, that surely there's a friend or a neighbor or somebody out there that you know that has a computer. And you just go to the friend and say, could you type in georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And if he can do that much on his computer, you'll dial up our webpage. And then off of our webpage, there's a section in there called the radio log. I don't know how to do this myself, but the computer people here, they tell us that can be done. And so they put these programs on the internet, and you can download them onto your own MP3 file. You know, you get, and there's four or five ways to do that. And in just MP3, there's other thingies out there that I don't even know how to pronounce that you can download this on, or you can listen to it on the computer, or you can put it on your own little disc and play it in your car, and it's all free. It doesn't cost you anything. Don't take a little time, effort, and energy. And so that's the way that little game is played, and that's why we put all these programs here on the internet and archive them there. There's more than 2,500 last time I heard. I looked in my, I've got a book over here, and every day I write down, you know, what we put. Last time I looked, we're up over 2,500 programs. All right, with that in mind, then, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. That means that we take a little time, effort, and energy to research this out, and on this subject matter right here that we're covering. I went and got three books, three different authors that all say the same thing. You're plugged up, partner, and that's what causes your disease. So at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. And what that means is that we give credit to Dr. Schultz over here. Although Schultz, you know, now sometimes somebody will call me and they'll say, this guy Schultz, I called him up. And he says, Gordon, that you're the dirtiest, no good, low life that God ever put breath into. And that happens quite often. Listen, I'm offensive to everybody. If you tell the truth about any topic, you're going to offend people. The medical doctors are offended, even though I say, you know, the greatest breakthroughs in medical science have been done by medical doctors. It was medical doctors that discovered chelation. And then it was medical doctors that buried it so damn deep you couldn't find it at high noon with a road map. And that's because there's no profit in it. But I got to give them credit for having discovered it. And just like Dr. Watley, I got to give him credit for having discovered the program, the idea. And so when we discover something and we report on it, I come to you and I say, hey, this guy Schultz is the greatest thing since sliced white bread. But you know, Schultz, he might listen to my program and say, this guy is a right-wing wacko screwball nut fruitcake, and God, I'm sorry that this guy has even mentioned my name come out of his lips. And that happens all the time. And sometimes, I've reported this a time or two, I told you about the guy down in Australia. He told me to take a long walk off a short pier. He wrote me a pretty caustic letter. And I get those every once in a while. So don't think that because we recommend to somebody or we do a report on something like this, constipation here, and I recommend Dr. Schultz's book. I think Schultz is the greatest thing since sliced white bread, but he may think I'm a dirty, no good lowlife. So when you call Schultz and you say, hey, I heard this on this radio program, and he says, oh, that guy Gordon, he's a nutcake. Well, okay, he doesn't agree with me. Although I don't know that Schultz, I've never had a conversation with this guy, I don't know, you know, one way or the other, but I picked up on this and I said, you know, I think people ought to know what causes disease. And the guy comes out and he says, hey, it's really not all that difficult to grasp. So I'm recommending his book, and his book here, while I'm on the subject, let me give you his number. And I think you can get a copy of it. Now, I paid for the book. I bought the program, and I've been buying from this guy for many, many years. And I don't think he's against me, and he probably have something good to say about me, I hope. But what I'm pointing out is that oftentimes the people that we do reports on, they don't like us at all. And they don't like me in particular. And so they'll give a bad report. But this guy's telephone number is 1-877. It's just one, long distance. 877. Teach me. Can you remember that? Teach me. Now, that's kind of hard. So the number is 832-2463. That's 1-877-832-2463. 2463. Here in America, for all you people overseas, you know, we have a lot of advertising techniques, and that teach me what you do is you go to the telephone dial and you look at T-E-A-C-H-M-E, and wherever you see the T, you dial that number, and then you see the E, and you dial that number, and then A, and so it's easier to remember 1-877 teach me than it is to remember 1-877-832-2463. And so they use these little acronyms. They say 1-877 teach me, and then people can remember teach me, and so then they dial it in. I think it's something unique here to the United States. Anyway, this is Dr. Schulze, and it's spelled S-C-H-U-L-Z-E, and it's published by the Natural Healing Publications, probably his own outfit, Post Office Box 9459, that's P.O. Box 9459, Marina Del Rey, California. And the zip code out there is 90295. Now that's P.O. Box 9459, Marina Del Rey, California. As Arnold Schwarzenegger would say, California. California, and the zip code 90295. I can't even impersonate Arnold very well today. All right, now Dr. Schulze got started out here in the early years. He puts a chapter in here about his credentials, and I thought that was a pretty good credentials, because this guy has been doing this for 30 years. And people will come to him who have been written off by the medical profession. They'll come to him and they'll say, well, they've given me 3 months to live, and I've tried everything, chemotherapy and everything that you can think of, and I'm going to die. Now I'll give you a chance, Schulze. Let's see if you can save me. That's the way the game is played. It's the way it works. All of these alternative health quacks, they call them quacks in the medical profession, they don't get people that walk in the door and say, hey, I got a lump in my breast. They get the people after their breasts have been cut off and they don't have any hair left and their immune system's been all burned out, and then they come to the Dr. Schulze and say, oh, I don't know what to do next, and I'm just at my wit's end, and I think I'm going to die, and I'm willing to give you a chance, doc. You know, if you come in there and treat this thing to begin with, better yet, why don't you prevent it? That's a wild new concept. If you clean out your colon, you probably won't have cancer. And if you develop cancer, then you've cleaned your colon, you've cleaned your liver, you've cleaned your gallbladder out, well, then what you need is nutrition. Now you need some B17. Now, if you can do a couple, three of these things, you know, you probably can live to be 75, 80 years old. These guys, they talk about living to be 100. I think they got their head up the wrong end, but, you know, more power to them. Hell, if you can live to be 100, better yet. Well, here's what Schulze says. He says, armed with my teacher's herbal formula, I unleashed myself on the world and set up my first real practice in Hollywood, California, but I'm afraid nothing could have prepared me for my patients. I'll never forget my first year in practice. I'd already healed myself, and I'd spent 10 years traveling around the country, following, studying, and turning with the best natural healers and herbal doctors of the past century. I attended their schools, graduated from most of them, received 2 doctorates, 17 different diplomas in all. I went on to teach at most of these same schools. To earn money to eat and to pay tuition, I worked in most of their clinics, and I saw patients on the side. And I sold books in the bookstores and back rooms of health food stores. By now, the year was 1975, and I thought I knew about everything. I was definitely overtrained and underexperienced. So in the first few weeks of official practice, God sent me a lovely but very depressed woman patient, about 50 years old. She was partially depressed because of anxiety about the onset of menopause, but mostly because of her daughter. And I'd heard from another patient that her daughter had a chronic bowel problem. So I asked her to tell me about it, and here's the story that she told me. Her daughter always had trouble going to the bathroom since she was an infant. But when puberty arrived, her bowel just about stopped. For 2 years, she hardly went to the bathroom at all. At age 15, after suffering very long bouts of constipation and almost constant pain in her lower abdomen, she finally developed diverticulitis, that is an infected, herniated, irritated, inflamed, painful bowel with colon and rectal bleeding. Since medical doctors know nothing about herbs and their healing ability, not even aloe vera, they resorted to going up inside this little girl's rectum a few times, an extremely uncomfortable and painful procedure, and they cauterized, that is, they burned the inside of her colon in a last-ditch effort to try to stop the bleeding. Finally, after 6 months of torture, they suggested the removal of her bowel. It's called an ileostomy, and they said that it would save her years of future suffering. So the doctors convinced the family that this was a fairly simple procedure and that many people live a normal, comfortable life after having an ileostomy. And when the daughter woke up after the surgery in the hospital bed with no bowel, a big red sutured scar from one side of her belly to the other, and a hole the size of a silver dollar in her gut with a plastic bag glued on it filled with poop, filled with intestinal waste. Well, she was freaked out, as you can imagine. The doctor said that she would get used to it in no time, but she didn't. After months of depression and not wanting to go to school, her mother decided to throw her a sweet 16 party to lift her spirits. Mom invited all of her friends, including a new boyfriend that she had met at the mall. Mom even sprung for the new party dress. The night of the party came and everything was going great. Towards the end of the party, her daughter was slow dancing with her new boyfriend. They kissed. It was perfect. Then all of a sudden, he shrieked and pushed her away in terror. He was covered with hot, wet, stinking, fecal sludge, and so was she. Her bag had become unglued and fell off, spurting its contents everywhere, covering her, her new party dress, and her new boyfriend. Well, needless to say, the party was over, and the daughter ran to her room in a hysterical, sobbing, crying fit. Her mother cleaned up and tried to console her, but finally decided to let her sleep it off, thinking that tomorrow would be a new day. The next morning, her mother went up to her daughter's room. In the morning, her daughter had hung herself in her closet. She was dead. So much for what the doctors call a simple surgery. And what they meant was that it was simple to perform, but it is not simple for the patient to live with. Now, some people think that I am acting too much like a hard-ass when I call the AMA, the American Murderers Association. Well, if they would have spent a few weeks in my clinic seeing all of the children that have been tortured and killed by modern medicine, they'd call them a whole lot worse. Now, that's quite a little story. I thought I'd share that that little story with you because I've had contact with probably five people in my lifetime that have had this procedure done. And they do learn to live with it. But in all of the cases I can think of, these people were injured in car wrecks. And they couldn't go naturally. They've lost their feeling. They have to have this colostomy, or ileostomy, I guess they call it, in order to go to the bathroom. I guess it's necessary to save their lives. I'm not saying that it's all bad. But don't you think that constipation, a simple thing like constipation, and then to go through this colostomy is a little bit overkill? Now, if it needs to be done because it's life-saving, that's one thing. But this girl here, all she was plugged up. She was constipated. She had been constipated from the time she was an infant. More than likely, her mother put her on formula, Similac or something like that, rather than nurse this baby naturally the way God intended. You know, modern mothers, you know, they got to put their kids on the Similac. These kids are always sick. They're like bucket calves. They're just always sickly, always doctoring them. And a lot of them die. And so ultimately, the medical doctors came along and said, well, we don't know what else to do. We don't know what causes it. We don't know how to cure it, but we got a treatment for it. Let's just cut it out. And we'll stick a bag on her side. Now, these bags break. Every one of these people tell me they leak, they break, they're a god-awful mess. It takes about, and one guy told me, he says, it takes him about a half an hour, two or three times a day to clean that bag out and to dispose of it. Now, boys and girls, you know, that stuff that's down in the toilet is kind of nasty. I mean, let's just be real people. And, you know, we like to go to the bathroom, wipe, look at it fleetingly, flush the toilet, and get it the hell out of our sight and out of our mind. But, you know, your body is producing this poop. It's producing this feces every minute of every day. Just like your automobile, when it's running, is producing exhaust, and it's got to be disposed of. And if you want to dispose of it physically and personally, throw a little bag on your side so that you can handle it, and you can kind of wash it off your hands, and you can kind of wash the bag out and clean it up and get real intimate and real personal with it. That's a choice that you have to make in life. And sometimes, as in this little girl's case, it's a choice that she didn't want to make. It was made for her. And then she woke up and well, here it is, and now I've got to deal with it. Well, okay, those kind of accidents happen. And all of these people tell me, and it's embarrassing. You know, if you could avoid that, by all means do. So here's the doctor, and he says, now, I want to tell you that story. And he starts off chapter 3 with that story, and I thought it was a good story to learn from. Let's see if we can avoid that. So as God works, the very next day I got a call from another frantic mom, except this time it wasn't too late. It was Tuesday, and the mother told me that her little 11-year-old boy was scheduled for a colostomy, that surgery, that's colon removal, on Friday. He had been constipated for years and had not gone in months, so she begged me to help, but only had 2 days in which to work a miracle. So I put together a very strong experimental herbal bowel cleanser, because none of the ones my teachers taught me had ever worked for any of my seriously constipated patients. So I got out my old veterinary herbals from the 1800s, and I looked up what they would use for a large animal like a horse. So I picked out a few herbs, I mixed them up, and I gave it to this little boy, and the very next day he had a bowel movement. His mother called me and told me it was over 2 feet long and up to 2 to 3 inches wide. It was so hard that after numerous failed attempts at flushing it down the toilet, her husband had to go out to the garage and get a shovel to chop it up to get it to flush. This kid is now a grown man married and with 2 children of his own, without the colostomy, and now he has all of his organs. Now, how much do you think his life would have been changed, if not ruined, had he undergone that horrifying disfiguring surgery? What I used on that little boy was the first crude version of my intestinal formula number one. Until I refined it, some patients referred to it as TNT. It's the herbal explosive of and depth charge. I'm strongly against animal torture and experimentation, but I needed to refine my formula. This is when I discovered that relatives are often a great inexpensive replacement for laboratory rats. So I gave one of the earliest versions of this formula to my brother, who had a long history of constipation. Well, he doesn't have a history of constipation anymore. I made a mistake with my calculation. I gave him a serious overdose. He not only experienced the laws of jet propulsion, but claims that he's never been constipated again from that day forward, and has had perfect bowel movements over the past 25 years. I eventually got the formula perfected. And you see, up until this point, most herbal bowel formula available were actually antique herbal medicines. One popular formula used in the 1970s and still sold today in health food stores is Arnold Ehret's Inner Clean. This man was born during the Civil War and cleansed the bowels of who knows who, maybe Buffalo Bill or Wyatt Earp, I don't know. This formula was designed over 100 years ago when people were riding horses and all food was whole food. One of the other most popular formulas of the 1970s came from one of my great teachers, John R. Christopher, called Nature Lax, sometimes referred to as Fennel B. It's a very mild herbal formula. But he designed this formula during his years of clinical practice, and he died in 1983. So this mild laxity formula is, what, 30, 40, 50 years old? My patients are living in the 90s and the 21st century. They are not getting results from these kinds of old formulas. So from this day on, I vowed to never let another child or anyone suffer from constipation or have a mutilating colon surgery. This was just one of the reasons that I developed my intestinal formula number one. So here's the good doctor over here. He's been experimenting. Now I want to point something out here. It's very important. You cannot overdose on this. Herbs will give you results, but they're not going to kill you. You don't need to be concerned about, gee, if I take too much of this, am I going to have a heart attack or am I going to die from some side effect or some complication? Herbs are foods. Herbs are vitamins and minerals in concentrated form. They are chemicals, no doubt about it, necessary body chemicals, but they're in such a form that they don't cause side effects and they give you the effects that they're designed for. And God has designed out here in the natural world all of the herbs that we need to give us the nutrients, to give us the chemicals that we need in our bodies. Not artificial chemicals from Dow Corning. Hey, I'm out of time again, kids. I'm going to have to leave it right there. We'll take up chapter 4 next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Remember, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.